Whatever you're going through right now, there's a promise for that. Whatever you're lacking in, there's a promise for that. Wherever you're missing it, there's a promise for that. Whatever is broken in your life, there's a promise for that. Whatever is needs to be restored in your life, there's a promise for that. Whatever's going wrong in your life, there's a promise for that. In other words, whatever you face, whatever storm, whatever problem, whatever circumstance, whatever tribulation that you go through, there's a promise for that. Welcome to Think Like a Champion. This is our 91st podcast, and in honor of our 91st podcast, one of the great things that you can read today after our podcast is Psalm 91. It's one of the greatest psalms. I'm one day going to teach you from it. But our 91st podcast, thank you for being a part of Think Like a Champion, where we're helping you win in every way and enjoy every day. And we are doing it together. Before we dive in to today's content, we're going to pick up where we left off in our last podcast. I want to thank everyone who's written a review, shared this podcast on social media. Thanks for helping us expand our community of champions. Every time you post, every time you leave a review, you're making a difference and you're helping us reach more people. So thank you, and please keep on sharing. Now, because it is the month of giving, and normally you would expect to hear about the power of generosity and the power of being a giver, I want to talk to you about the power of being a taker. That's right. Take, take, take. In preparation for the year ahead, I want you to take some things with you into the next year. There are some things we need to leave behind, but there are some things we need to take. If you want to have the best next year of your life, the best next chapter of your life, the best next hour of your life, it starts by taking some things. Yes, we want to be generous people, but there are some things we need to take. And the first thing we need to take, we talked about it in our last podcast, we need to take responsibility for our lives, take responsibility for our families, take responsibility for our finances, take responsibility for our health. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. Don't wait for somebody to do it for you. Take responsibility now. Don't wait to get sick before you start taking care of your health. All right? It's so important. Don't wait to be broke before, you may already be, but don't wait to be broke to take responsibility for your finances and to put God first and to be a good steward and a good manager of every dollar and every penny that you have. We learn taking responsibility is the secret. It's the gateway to your destiny. Taking responsibility for your life. Nobody can do it for you. You don't have to take the responsibility for what people have done to you, but you must take responsibility for how you respond and react to it and which direction you're going to go in as a result of it. Number two, we talked about taking correction, that taking correction and embracing discipline and embracing reproof, it leads to the anointing growing in your life and the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. The anointing is that, according to Isaiah chapter 10, the anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. There are burdens in your life. There are yokes in your life that need to be destroyed. There are things that have yoked you and chained you to your past, chained you to some bondage, chained you to some trap in your life. And the anointing destroys those yokes that are chaining you, destroys those yokes and removes those burdens that are burdening you. And the anointing increases in your life as you take correction, as you receive correction, as you receive feedback, take advice. Don't take it from everybody, but find who's going to mentor you. Find somebody in your church. Find somebody who is ahead of you in life. And rather than comparing yourself to them or competing with them, employ them in helping coach you. We need to have one pastor as believers. We don't need to have everybody who we follow on Instagram or TikTok to be our pastors. We need to be a part of a church family and take advice and take feedback and take correction from a man of God in our lives that is set apart for us. And that's our pastor. That's whoever that is for you. Stop making that person have to compete and compare and drown out all the other voices. You have to drown out all the other voices because God anoints every church and every pastor to be able to feed that flock and to feed those people and to feed you. Okay, so make sure that you have that in your life. And I want to take this to the next level of another thing that we need to take into our next season, take into our next year, take into our next chapter of our life, and that is to take inventory. You know, if you own a store, I always remember going to the drugstore that was near where I grew up, and oftentimes the person is in the back, the manager is in the back, and he's writing down things, or she's writing down the things that they have in the storeroom so they can make sure that they have enough out on the display, and they make sure they know what to order next and how many before we run out of M&Ms or whatever it is they're selling there, and they take inventory. And I believe that every one of us needs to take inventory in our lives. In other words, so often we live life from a deficit mindset. We're living life from a mindset of what we don't have. And I don't believe that that will lead to happiness or success in life when you're constantly thinking about what you don't have. But when you are constantly thinking about what you do have, it leads to success. It leads to joy. It leads to a happy life. It leads to a life of impact. See, anybody can have success. Success is one thing. Impact is another. Everybody can have success, but not everybody can make an impact. And our goal in life should not just to have success. It should not be just to have success, but to make an impact. To make an impact, you got to know what you have. You have to take inventory of what you have. I want to share with you taking inventory from a point of view of a gospel story in Mark chapter 4. So Jesus teaches his disciples in Mark chapter 4 and the crowds, he teaches them about planting seeds. He says the kingdom of God in verse 26 is like a man that plants seed in the ground and then he goes to bed at night and he gets up by day. And while he's sleeping, the seed that he planted, it grows overnight. It's growing at night while he's resting, while he's sleeping. And he teaches this principle of the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of God operates. It's all about planting good seeds, right? And then there's a shift in what happens after he teaches this parable of the man who plants seed in the ground. He says in verse 35, on the same day, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, on the same day is what? The same day that he just got done talking to them about planting seed in the ground and going to bed at night, on that same day when evening had come, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. You know, this is a real theme in our church. This is a theme in my life. We're going to the other side. This is a promise that I really love to really look at and really examine and really feed off of, this promise to go to the other side. You know, every one of us needs to get to the other side of something. We need to get to the other side of a mistake we made, and we need to get to the other side of a failure in our life. We need to get to the other side of a sickness. We need to get to the other side of a financial difficulty that we've endured. We need to get to the other side of a relationship. We need to get to the other side of, you know, this next year. We need to get to the other side and put the past behind us. We need to cross over some things and get to the other side. What's on the other side of this problem is a better life. What's on the other side of this defeat and failure? It's greater success. What's on the other side of this no? Well, I believe a no is simply a yes to something better. So there's always something on the other side of whatever you're facing. And I want to encourage you to, in order to get to the other side, you have to take inventory. Now, I'll show you what I mean by that, but I want to just read this story to you and then come back and break it down for us, right? Okay, so Jesus says, let us go to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, it says that Jesus took along with him the disciples, and they got in a boat, and there were other little boats with him. And in verse 37, it says, there was a great storm that arose and waves that beat into that boat, and it was already filling the boat up, and it was getting ready to sink. But it says in verse 38, and this is such a pivotal verse that should become like a pivotal verse foundation for your life. It says in verse 38, but he was in the back of the boat asleep on a pillow. That ought to tell you, number one, there's nothing bad about having a pillow and being comfortable. And number two, there's nothing bad about sleeping because Jesus is sleeping and he's got a pillow and he's in the back of the boat while there's a storm. So often when there's a storm, we start a flurry of activity to try to stop the storm or try to avoid the storm. Jesus is sleeping in the storm. Why? Because he's demonstrating what he just got done talking and teaching his disciples. So he taught them that the kingdom of God is like a man that plants a seed in the ground and then goes to bed at night. What does this have to do with taking inventory? What does this have to do with what I'm talking about? It has everything to do with it because Jesus says to his disciples, we're going to the other side. He already has explained to them that the word of God are the seeds in our lives, that the scriptures, the words of God are seeds. And he said that the kingdom of God is like a man that plants seed in the ground and then goes to bed at night. And then Jesus follows up that lesson with an actual real life experience. And what's the real life experience? He says to his disciples, let us go to the other side. That is the word that he has just planted. That is the seed that he has just planted. We're going to the other side, boys. We're going to the other side. And then what does he do? He goes to sleep. What is he doing? He just taught them kingdom of God is like a man who plants seed into the ground and then goes to bed at night. So what did he just do? He plants seed and he goes to bed. He goes to sleep. He plants the seed and he goes to sleep. He is living an illustrated sermon of what he's just taught his disciples. But they woke him up and they said, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And you don't care about us. We're perishing. You're sleeping and we're perishing. We're bailing water out of this boat and you're sleeping. You're sleeping on the job. Jesus is doing exactly what he said, how the kingdom of God operates. He plants the seed. We're going to the other side. Then he goes to sleep. And so they wake him up because they're afraid. And the Bible says in verse 39 that he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, is there a storm in your life? God promises there's going to be a great calm. There's going to be a great calm over your emotions. There's going to be a great calm over what you're worried about. There's going to be a great calm over your finances. There's going to be a great calm if you learn to take inventory. In verse 40, Jesus, after he rebukes the wind and speaks to the sea, peace, be still, and then there was this great calm, he says to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they were even more afraid, and they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is God. But Jesus also was a man. And as a man, he said, we're going to the other side. And then as a man, he went to sleep. And you know what? I'll bet if they followed his example, they would have eventually got to the other side without Jesus having to rebuke the wind and to speak to the sea, peace, be still. But more importantly, what I want you to see from this is, where did the disciples go wrong? Where did they go wrong when they got in this storm? Here's where they went wrong. They did not take inventory. You know, in life, we are born with a certain set of skills and talents and abilities that have to be cultivated, but we have to learn through a process of discovery by going to school and by having parents and by all the things that nurture what's inside of us. But what we fail to do is we fail often to nurture what God has given us. And instead of focusing on what we have a relationship with God that is a negative energy relationship because we're only going to him to get what we think we don't have. And if instead we went to him and thanked him for what we already have and began to take inventory of what we had, we would get out of any situation. We would get to the other side of any situation. You're going to get to the other side if you take inventory and you use what you have. What is it that they had? Let's talk about it. Here is what they had that they didn't know about because they didn't take inventory. And here's what you have, even when you don't know it. You have these things. But we must take inventory of these things and then draw from these four things that I'm going to give you. We need to draw from these things whatever we need. We need to draw from these things a tool to apply to the situation that we're in. What are these things? Take inventory. Let's talk about what they had in that boat. Number one, take an inventory now. Number one, Jesus got in the boat with his disciples. But first he said to them, let us go to the other side. So number one, they had a promise from God. We're going to the other side. Jesus has given them a promise. We are going to the other side. What we have to learn from this is whatever you're going through, there's a promise for that. You know, when the iPhones first came out 15 years ago or whenever it was, all of a sudden, there were all these apps that began to be developed. If you want to open an online bank account, there's an app for that. If you want to learn how to be a good friend and develop relationships or date, there's an app for that. If you want to learn how to, you know, be better with your finances, there's an app for that. Learn how to have physical fitness and improve your health, there's an app for that. In other words, for whatever we needed, when we got those iPhones, we started with these iPhones, for whatever we needed, there was an app for that. And in the same way that whenever you look at your phone as a tool that you can get access to the apps whenever you need them to apply to your everyday life, I want you to have that same mentality in taking inventory. You need to know that whatever you're facing right now, there's a promise for that. Whatever you're going through right now, there's a promise for that. Whatever you're lacking in, there's a promise for that. Wherever you're missing it, there's a promise for that. Whatever is broken in your life, there's a promise for that. Whatever is needs to be restored in your life, there's a promise for that. Whatever's going wrong in your life, there's a promise for that. In other words, whatever you face, whatever storm, whatever problem, whatever circumstance, whatever tribulation that you go through, there's a promise for that. You know, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. So don't try to live a tribulation-free life. Don't try to live a life where you never have tribulations and you never have trouble, because you can't live that. No matter how hard you try, you could not obtain or achieve that kind of life. Instead, embrace the fact that life is filled with tribulation. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So there is a promise for tribulation, and that is Jesus has overcome whatever I'm going through right now. Jesus has overcome it, and he's going to lead me through it. Jesus made a promise to these disciples. They didn't necessarily take it as a promise, but as we look now at the scripture, that's exactly what it was. It's a promise from God. We're going to the other side. So number one, they had a promise. You have the promises of God. There's 7,000 promises in the Bible, and you have access to every one of them in Christ Jesus. So take inventory. You have the promises of God. Number two, Jesus got in the boat with them. So what did they have? They had the presence of God. Number one, they had the promise of God. We're going to the other side. Number two, they had the presence of God. Jesus was with them in the boat. Number three, they had the power of God. Where did they have the power of God? They had the power of God all the way back to Proverbs chapter 18, where the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, when you think about it, in this storm, that's exactly what Jesus used to calm the storm. He used his tongue. How many know there was death and life in the power of his tongue? He spoke, actually, in that case, he rebuked the wind. Guess what he did? He used his tongue to bring death to the wind. He brought death to the wind. The power of your tongue. There is death and life in the power of your tongue. There are some things that need to die that you need to speak to command them to die, not people, but things, all right? And then there are things that you need to speak life to, but either way, you have the power to do it. And Jesus used the power of his tongue to speak death to the storm and to speak life to the calm. And there was a great calm. So I want you to see, Jesus used the power of God through his tongue, and you have the power in your words. There's not just one verse on the power of our words. There's maybe hundreds of verses about the power of our words in the Bible. There's so much evidence in life. There's so much scientific evidence now about the power of our words. Well, God was the one who instituted that our words would be the carriers of our power. He instituted in Genesis chapter 1 for humanity that the Bible says that there was great darkness over the whole universe, and God spoke light. He said, let there be light, and light came. You see, Jesus was employing and deploying the power of his tongue the same way that God had deployed the power of his tongue when he created the universe, and the same way you can deploy the power of God through speaking life over your family, speaking life over your health, speaking life over your finances, speaking death over your debt, speaking death over your poverty, speaking death over your sickness, speaking death over your anxiety. You see, these disciples only failed because they failed to take inventory. They had the promise of God. They had the presence of God. They had the power of God. And guess what was the result? As a result, they had the peace of God. There was a great calm. There was a great calm. You know, if you, no matter what situation you're in right now, if you would just stop and say, okay, what promise is in the Bible that can apply to the situation that I'm in right now, the problem I'm facing right now, the circumstance I'm under right now? There's 7,000 promises in the Bible. All of them, there's more than enough. Like, you don't even need all of them. You could live the rest of your life on one of them. You could live the rest of your life on Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Like, you could, everything in life is a need, and God says he supplies all of our needs. So in one sense, you could use that verse. I don't think it's the only thing you should use, but I want you to see that you'll never need all 7,000 promises. This just shows how abundant God is and how generous God is, that he gives so much more than we'll ever need. They had the promise of God. They had the presence of God. They had the power of God, and they had the peace of God. Now, the peace of God was in Jesus. He had the peace. That's why he was sleeping. But peace will always come when you deploy the promise, when you speak the promise, when you realize you have God's presence, when you understand that you have his power, and when you start using what you have, take inventory and then use the inventory as tools in whatever situation that you're in. And you're going to have the best year of your life next year. You're going to have the best month, the remainder of this month. You're going to have the best life and the best future and the best next chapter of your life if you would learn to be a taker. And by that, I mean, take inventory of what you have. Boy, when we get a hold of this, there's no fear that can remain in a life of a person who takes inventory of what's inside of them. You know, there's another great verse that you could just use, this other verse, in taking inventory of what you have. In 2 Timothy 1:7, most Christians know this verse, but they don't use it as their inventory. They don't use it as their resource. But it says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Or power, love, and discipline. He said, these are three things that you've been given. You haven't been given fear, but the three-pronged attack against fear is power, love, and a sound mind. And the three-pronged attack of anything that comes against you is power, love, and a sound mind. When you take inventory of just 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, you realize that you have power, you have love, and you have a sound mind. You might not think you do have those things, but that's why you need to take inventory and realize that in Christ Jesus, you do have those things, and you can use those things. You have power, power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the tongue, the power of forgiveness. You have this power. You have love. You have the love of God, the love that God has for you. Everyone has some love. First, you have the love. You have love because God loves you, but you also have love, natural love for people that are in your life. It's not always easy all the time, but there is love there. You have to practice it. You have to exercise that muscle of love. But you do have it, and you have a sound mind. You might think you're going crazy. You might have mental illness, but God has given you a sound mind. And when you start seeing yourself that way, it starts changing your condition spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, in every area of your life. All right, we're out of time. Take inventory. Go into this next year knowing what's yours and knowing what you have in Christ. And there will be a great calm. There will be a great calm. Who's ready for that, right? I'm ready for that. Say this out loud. Say in the name of Jesus. I have been given, say, I have been given power. Say that out loud. I've been given power. God has given me power, love, and a sound mind. Say this out loud. Say in the name of Jesus. I have the promises of God. I have the presence of God. Say it out loud. I have the promises of God. I have the presence of God. I have the power of God. I have the peace of God. Oh, when you start talking like that, and it rewires your brain. It rewires your body. It retrains your thinking. It's powerful. Thanks for joining me today on Think Like a Champion. Your next days are your best days. Your best days are going to be your next days. Would you share this with someone who needs to hear it? Subscribe also to the podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you to those of you who give. It is a season of giving. And I want to thank you for those who have already given to this ministry, our church, lifechangerschurch.com. You can give there, lifechangerschurch.com/give. Pay it forward. Help us get this message out to more people. This is the season of giving. Take inventory. God's given you a lot. Now give back because you can. And give back because it feels good. And give back because you're making an impact when you do. lifechangerschurch.com/give. And if you need help this Christmas and you don't know what you're going to do, let us know and we'll pray with you to some degree. We help as many people as we possibly can. And we would love to be a part of partnering with you to see the greatest days of your life beginning today. Until next time, you are a champion. So keep thinking like one, and everything is going to be all right. Can't wait to see you at our next podcast. God bless.